You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Sunday may never be the same at some of these churches unless God gets out some of these politically correct, watered-down pastors. But it's all right. Everything's going to be all right. You know, we're here, and we're together. And I'm not going to say as long as the political cesspool is on the air, we're destined to win this thing and turn it around. But I will tell you this. You will have comfort. You will find shelter here. And we will do everything we can. We will not stop fighting. We will fight on and on and on and on until God himself calls us home, so long as we have the support and the continued appreciation from a loving audience. You love us. We love you. We're a family. And it's all right. There's a lot wrong with this world, but there's also a lot right in this world. In Europe, nationalism is ascendant. You know, there was a group of people in Austria, a group of nationalists in Austria, patriotic people who went and blocked the border to keep the invaders out, not the refugees, but the invaders. There's a lot of things out there we can take hope in. And we take hope here in the political cesspool, and we're in a good mood tonight. And I'll tell you, even despite what we talked about in the second hour, and if that song right there, if music like that doesn't get you in a good mood, you need to check your pulse. But I'm James Edwards, and Eddie the Bombardier Miller is here. And Eddie, I'll tell you something that put Eddie in a good mood. We were going through some of the mail here that had come in the last few days before the show started. You got a letter from Missouri, Eddie, that I know you want to make mention of.
I most certainly did get a great, great letter from Missouri. I'd like to thank all the people that send the countless emails into the political cesspool. And we broke a record in getting written letters to the cesspool after our Dynamite broadcast.
Well, it was certainly a record for recent weeks.
And you know what? Sure. I'd specifically like to thank Kim in Missouri. I'm going to tell you what, Kim, I've been having kind of a down 10 days. You know, sometimes we get discouraged and think, are we really doing anything?
I never think that, Eddie.
Kim, when I get letters like that from you, I just wished I could tell you how it fired me up. You should have seen my face, according to what James Edwards told me. He said, Eddie, I wish you could see your face right now. But it really lit me up. It gave me great courage because I figure, Kim, for every Kim out there writing a letter, we probably got 100 out there that doesn't write letters for one reason or another. But thank you so much out there, people. And I guarantee you, we're never going to give up. Another thing did me good. I had the best. Hey, I'll make this quick. I had the best long run ever I've had in my life. Yesterday, I did 22 miles, and I can promise you, never even hardly broke a sweat. And I just felt so good because I got to go to New York in less than a month. And that gave me confirmation and my confidence. I'm going to absolutely destroy that course in New York, the New York Marathon. Now, back to the business as usual. I like to kind of have a little bit different, slightly different view on why the church has gone to hell in a handbasket. Different view from James Edwards a little bit. You know, and when I talk about the church, talk about the hierarchy. The hierarchy is who teaches us. You know, it comes down like the Pope is the hierarchy leader in the Catholic Church. In the Catholic Church, the peons in the church, the bishops and the cardinals and in each of the congregations, they're supposed to do what the Pope says. He's supposed to have this direct line to God. And I'm afraid, even Keith is right when he says the Baptist churches are supposed to be, you know, they're supposed to be independent, each Baptist church. But they're not, they're supposed to be, but I'm telling you flat out, they're not as independent in reality as they are theoretically. And I'm going
to
tell you where
you got to get to those notes because you got some dynamite notes in there.
Yeah, well, you know what? Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you where it's all coming from. The Bible talks about it. You go to Revelations. Jesus talked about it all through the Gospels. But what we're seeing now is the great falling away. We're seeing the whore of Babylon dressed in gold and purple, scarlet and purple, and the whore of Babylon being the church. A lot of people used to think it was just the Catholic Church. But if you can see, it's this the entire so-called Christian church. One of the biggest sins they've done in the past 75 to 100 years, ever since we had that hellish Scofield Bible to come on the scene, is to start preaching that we should bless Israel at all costs. We should bless the Jews at all costs. And that's a direct contradiction
Eddie,
to Jesus Christ.
Tell them what you heard on the radio today, because it falls right in line with what you're talking about.
It surely does.
And make it quick, because I know you've got a lot to go with.
Absolutely. Coming from Midtown today, went down there from business. Coming back, I heard a Christian radio show. Having a person come on to give commentary as why the Christian church is in so much trouble, why America is in so much trouble, why we're having so many bad things happen to us. It looks like God has taken his hand of protection off of us. And it wasn't a big, well-known Christian minister, Baptist minister, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, whatever. It was none other than a rabbi. I believe his name was Jonathan Kahn, a rabbi right here in Memphis. He was going. He was coming out and giving his commentary about what was wrong with the Christian church.
So this Christian, we say we're a Christian broadcast, and we are, although it's a political show in nature. This was just a straight up Christian, talk.
Straight
show.
Up Christian.
Straight up by all Christian all the time, and they didn't cover any political issues. And so they had a non-Christian on to tell them what they could do to be better Christians.
That's right. And see, he's still. And the rabbi had to remind the Christian commentator that he who blesses Israel. Oh, or the God show.
What did you think when you heard all this?
It's a crock. I thought, surely the commentator.
Well, how did any Christian find absolution before the 1940s when Israel became a
state
again?
All you have to do is go to your Bible. That's a crock. God never said, bless Israel. Israel wasn't even around. This is probably 100 years before Israel came on the scene. Israel was, the term Israel never was appeared in the Bible until, 70 years after that when Jacob. When the grandson of Abraham came along the pipe, he had Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob was one of his grandsons, and God named, as you probably know, named Jacob Israel. But God never said he wanted to going to bless Israel, and we don't have time to get into all that anyway. But that's an apostasy.
That's an apostasy teaching.
That's one thing. And all this, so here's where this is coming from. Where all this apostate, as far as the Baptist, Sam is right there. As far as the Baptist church is concerned, we've really started going to hell in a handbasket in the past 40 to 50 years. It's coming from the New World Order. It's the same people that control the Vatican. I'm talking about the Club of Rome. I'm talking about the Rosicrucians. I'm talking about the Illuminati. I'm talking about the Jesuits.
And the thing is, people wonder why the churches have gone bad. Well, you got to remember, the church isn't some impervious institution. A church is just like any other institution. It's made up of people who are corruptible. It's made up of people who can sell out, people who can who are influenced by the prevailing trends of the media. It's just an institution made up of people, and people have fallen, and so therefore the church has fallen. We got a lot more. Eddie's going to hold court entirely in this next segment. He's going to get through his notes, and then we're going to shift gears. We spent a lot of time on this the last 2 or 3 weeks. We do cover other topics as well, and we'll probably move off of this next week as well. But later on this hour, we're going to talk about Warrior's Ethic, an incredible piece that I think Eddie is tailor fit to cover with me. But one more segment about the Christian church next.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Okay, you know, this is an issue near and dear to our heart, and I know a lot of our people share our faith, and for those of you who don't, I'm sure you can relate to this, to our conundrum here. And so I've got this thing here, and the Southern Baptists lament the fact that for the fifth consecutive year, their membership has been in a steep decline, and they can't figure it out. Well, I can figure it out for them pretty easily. It's because they're absolutely and utterly pathetic at a leadership level. And, you know, we're better people than this, and our faith deserves to have better stewards. And it's not just Southern Baptists. Now, we're talking about them, obviously, because it's our denomination, and we expect better. A cursory study of the history of the Southern Baptists will show you that they have historically been one, as I mentioned earlier, of one of the most rigidly conservative branches of Protestantism in the past. And you've got this resolution on their website saying that they call for I'm not even going to read it, but they're calling for amnesty, and it says they deplore bigotry against undocumented immigrants. So Obama would be so proud of them, Eddie. You know, and apparently this is nothing more than a politically correct apostasy. And what a shame.
You're right.
Yeah, their definition of a bigot is anyone who opposes amnesty.
You know, James, let me chime in here. This you just made my point. What they're saying here, what you pointed out to me is the script that they're reading from. The script that's been dictated to the Southern Baptists, that's been dictated to the Vatican from the New World Order. And the New World Order is nothing more than the international Zionist conspiracy to take over the world. It's the called the Synagogue of Satan.
Now, that's
Jesus
your
Christ
position. My position is they just want to take shortcuts they can take to keep
script.
It easier. I just say they want to be accepted
by
the world.
No, let me tell you why you're wrong. Because they know that at least 78% of the populace agrees with James Edwards and Eddie Miller. They know that. It's just like James, that 90% of the Americans, the United States of America, are against all this illegal immigration.
There's no doubt about it.
But the politicians,
90% of the people in the Southern Baptist Church would be with us on immigration. 90%. And they are going against that 90%.
And I'm going to tell you what. Most of them do not want interracial marriage. They're taking their strip from the very top. Trust me, I studied this since I was about 11, 12 years old.
All right, back to your
I guarantee.
Notes. You got
okay,
other things
to now I'd like to, okay, we've almost beat that to death, but just take it from me, people. What you're seeing in any, like Keith and James and what I said earlier, pick your mainstream church USA.
And it's coming to every single church. That's why I just told Sam I'm totally anti-church. I'm getting away from the churches.
And people, you can be a Christian and not, you know, you should be amongst a body of believers that help strengthen your resolve. But if churches have come to this, you can certainly be a Christian and worship God.
You can't. You know what? I've come to the conclusion, I've said this before. I'm coming to the conclusion you can't be a Christian if you remain in a mainstream church. And that, especially includes the Southern Baptist Church. Because it's an apostasy there. But I'd like to also respond to this this Moore guy up there, this creep. You know what?
If there's a real restoration and revival,
well, the real restoration is going to have to come from
the real restoration is going to come when you get a hold of Russell Moore, right?
That's right. We're going to have a restoration. But you know what? I would like to ask this guy right here, and so much for the conspiracy, but I can tell you flat out, it is coming.
Whether
from,
it's a conspiracy, whether they've sold out for money, or whether they just want to go along to get along.
If it's nothing but a conspiracy, then the King James Bible is a conspiracy because Jesus talked about it the whole time, especially through Revelations.
You got 5 minutes. Hit the highlights.
Let me tell you what. I'm going to say this. I would like to ask the people out there. I'm going to address the white people first. I'm going to ask you to ask your colored friends, your blacks, and all these illegal aliens coming in here. Ask them, where is the gratitude? The white race from Europe, the white race in the United States, has been the absolute God's gift to this earth. Our race has lifted every race in the world. Every race has benefited from modern medicine, modern art, modern agriculture, modern engineering. We're the most altruistic race that ever lived. But let me tell you, if they had any brains, they would know they can't take in every single immigrant in the whole world and bring them in here to the United States. That's not what they see. They know that. They don't want to go over here and teach the people in Ethiopia and Botswana and all these countries. They don't want to teach them how to be a modern first world nation because that's not their purpose. Their purpose is to destroy white Christianity. And that's why they're bringing all these immigrants in here. But I would like you to ask your colored friends, where's the gratitude? And people out there, here's what I want to ask my white brethren. Where is your satisfaction? Where is your pride from what you've done? We've talked about James's church, the church he goes to. He said it's not his pastor. Bellevue Baptist is one of the biggest Baptist churches in the world. You can go down here in the black part of Memphis every summer, and you'll see programs that Macon Road, my church, Bellevue Baptist Church, they have programs down here in black midtown of Memphis. It's huge. It's huge. A huge part of Memphis down here. Orange Mound, places around there. Well, they built football fields down there. They built houses. They painted houses. They cleared up old dirty lots. They've done everything you could possibly do, and you'll never see one black working with these people. But, I mean, where is your satisfaction to doing that? You've done everything you can possibly do for your black brothers, for your brown brothers. What more can you do? Well, I thought sooner or later they would realize they've done all they can do. I mean, but I mentioned earlier these beautiful white girls in my church. I guess now they've decided, according to James has told me, this church here in Memphis had this big prayer session. We should ask for forgiveness for racism, and we should ask them for forgiveness for the sins of hating our black brethren. Well, I mean,
what well, we agree
so
that
I guess they're
going
to turn
wrong,
on. The only thing left to do is for us to commit mass suicide, and we can do that through turning our children over to breeding with these other races.
And when that happens, Eddie, when that happens, if they get what they want ultimately, and that's that the white race no longer exists, do they really think, and one of our commenters on our website left this message, do they really think that the demise of white people and an all-brown species of humanity will end racial conflict? All one has to do is look at the African continent. The warring black tribes not only fight constantly and kill each other, still to this day and all throughout history, but certain tribes among them eat their vanquished foes. So
they
much
do.
For a peaceful non-white world.
And you know, James, and I respond to the our listener there. Yes, they know this. The hierarchy, the people I'm talking about, the people in the Club of Rome, the people from the Jesuit order, the people that are pulling the strings of the Vatican, the people that are pulling the strings from that great whore of Babylon, the so-called Christian church now has been corrupted. They know that. That's why they want to destroy the white race. They hate us. They hate every vestige of the white race. They hate Christianity. That's why they will destroy it. Because when they think when they destroy the white race, what's left of us, they'll have the international Zionist synagogue of Satan.
Who, by the way, don't believe in interracial marriage. They have an apartheid state in Israel. The domestic policy of Absolutely. Israel on immigration is one that I salivate over. Yeah, so yep. Virtue, what they want for themselves is totally different than what they prescribe for us.
They think they're going to sit around here and they're going to be the survivors. It's not. This is not just Eddie Miller talking. I've been studying. I'm 68 years old. I've been studying this for 50 years. They think they're going to be the only ones left. And you know what? If they keep going and getting their way, it's going to be that way. Except there's one thing I know they don't know. I know. Well, they know it too, but they probably don't believe it. I know that in the end, Jesus Christ is going to win out. And people like us, people that hold true, don't go father for the apostasy, we're going to survive. But, yes, they do want to destroy us. That's why this clown over here met Baptist.
And that's the shame about people like us, that is that not only do we have to take it from the non-Christians, even our own Christian leadership.
Yeah, I got to slam my church again now. I got to slam my church, Macon Road Baptist. God, I love the people in our church. I love my pastor. But I can't be there anymore, you know. I've told my pastor this. God never made a stupider critter than a Southern Baptist.
Well, at least we don't have homosexual so-called ministers like the Episcopalians.
Right now we don't. But you know what? Let me give you an example. We talked about James's church. Now let's slam mine. You know what's going to happen tomorrow? We're supposed to go in. And we're supposed to attend the dinner put on by the Spanish part. Hey, we'll come to this when we get back. We've got to address this as soon as we come back.
You
got to
make it quick, though, because we got to get into Warriors Ethic, because you're primed for that. I mean, you're the only one that can cover it.
I'm a lover, not a fighter, son.
Stay tuned.
Claiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips.
There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I've got to set the record straight here very quickly. Eddie talks about my church, quote unquote.
Yeah, it is your church.
No,
son.
It isn't. Now, here
yeah, it is.
It is. Now, you, my pastor, my pastor, the pastor that led me to the Lord when I was 6 years old, the pastor that I claim as my own, the pastor to which, to whose church I still belong, has been on this show several times. He's a great friend of mine, a great man of God. I need to call him. He called me a couple of days ago. And, you know, the problem is that that church was an older church even when I belonged to it as a young man, and I met my wife there. You know, you talk about Christianity. Christianity has been good for me on so many levels. I would not even have met my wife or had my family if it wasn't for my faith in my church. I met my wife at church. And anyway, but the church was an older church, and it got older and older to the point where there was very few people left, so few, in fact, that the church could no longer administer a nursery. And so now that I have young children, we do attend other churches, though we still belong as official members to one church, but you can't take a 5-year-old and an 11-month-old to church that doesn't have a nursery because it's going to be too disruptive, and there's only a few people there. But nevertheless, so you know, that's the thing. So, you know, my pastor is my pastor. We do visit other churches because of our situation with the family. I have to say this, though. Got to get into this because, Eddie, you're perfectly suited to cover it, and it's going to take up the majority of this segment, and I don't even know if I can get to it all.
I hate war, and I'm a war protester.
What happened to the warrior's ethic? It's one of the greatest articles we've posted in a long time to thepoliticalcesspool.org. Originally appeared at American Renaissance, Jared Taylor's website. This is what it reads. Settling grievances through combat is pretty common. Kids at school everywhere still take it outside and are often friends after the fight. Fighters in the boxing ring and other combat sports routinely find their grievances settled after a fight. This can be referred to as the warrior's ethic. If a problem can't be talked out, it can be settled by combat, often followed by mutual respect between the winner and the loser. David Yeagley, he's since passed away. He was an American Indian. He's been on this show a few times. He's gone on to his eternal reward now. But he was a Comanche activist who understood the warrior ethic. This is what David Yeagley wrote. The white man may have taken my land, but he took it like a warrior, fair and square. He never denied our bravery, never besmirched our memory as warriors. When one general surrenders to another, they salute each other. It doesn't mean that there's no bitterness between them. It just means that a warrior respects his foes. Like the Indians and the white man, the Confederates had irreconcilable differences with the Union. When the time for talk was over, they met on the field of battle and fought like men. Each side respected the other. In A Stillness at Appomattox, Bruce Catton recounts an event. The 39th Massachusetts won an advanced position. This was a battle shortly before the surrender at Appomattox. It was the Battle of Petersburg. Losing three colored bearers and at last being forced back, leaving the colors on the ground, a colonel asked for volunteers to go out and get the flags. That would be the federal flags. A corporal and a private responded and ran out to get them. And suddenly, and quite unexpectedly, the Confederates stopped firing, allowed the men to pick up the flags. And as they went back to the regiment, the rebels waved their hats and raised a cheer. The Confederates know how much the colors meant to the enemy, and they cheered the men who risked their lives to retrieve them. Now listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. This is incredible. I was talking to Eddie about this before the show. At the surrender at Appomattox, a Union soldier felt none of the jubilation that he had expected. Instead, he writes this. This is from the Journal of a Union Soldier. I remember how we sat there and pitied and sympathized with these courageous Southern men who had fought for four long and dreary years, all so stubbornly, so bravely, and so well, and now whipped, beaten, and completely used up, were fully at our mercy. It was pitiful, sad, hard, and it seemed to us altogether too bad. The Confederates were defeated, but a worthy adversary. They erected monuments and memorials to their dead, named their streets, neighborhoods, schools, and sports teams in their memory. Their former enemies understood and admired their reverence for their dead. In a gesture of heartfelt respect for their former foe, the United States Army gave the names of Confederate generals to their army bases. 10 still bear the names such as Lee, Bragg, and Beauregard. Dwight Eisenhower, a Kansan with no connection to the South, kept the portrait of Lee in the Oval Office, calling him one of the supremely gifted men produced by our nation. But now, 150 years after the end of the war, though we still admire the fighting qualities of the American Indian, we are supposed to have nothing but scorn for the Confederates? Let's talk about the American Indians. It started in Jamestown in 1608. These people committed shocking atrocities, but yet we still accord them the respect due to warriors, but not the Confederates. Listen to this. In 1608, this is documented. The natives prepared a large fire behind a bound and naked body. This is talking about a gentleman by the name of George Casson who was ambushed. The men grasped his hands and used mussel shells to cut off joint after joint, making his way through the fingers of the man, tossing pieces of him into the flames. That accomplished, the man used shells and reeds to detach the skin from Casson's face and the rest of his head. Casson's belly was next. They sliced him open, pulled out his bowels, and cast those onto the fire. Finally, the natives burned Casson at the stake through to the bones. This is from American Recorded History, 1608 in Jamestown. Bellevue Baptist Church prayed that their forefathers would be forgiven for putting the Indians in reservations. You know what, folks? These people got what they deserved. They committed genocide and acts of genocide against one another before we ever got here, and they committed those acts against us as well. And it was only white Christians that would still give them land and still give them reservations instead of doing to them what they did to each other, which was completely wipe them out upon having vanquished them. Here's another account in 1840 of how Comanche squaws disposed of a score of captured white settlers. One by one, the children of the young and women were pegged out naked beside the campfire. They were skin sliced and horribly mutilated. And finally, they were burned alive by vengeful Indians who determined to wring the last shriek and convulsion from their agonized bodies. And then finally, in December of 1866, how about this account? From the condition of the horrible mutilated bodies, it was obvious that Red Cloud's warriors were intended to make a statement. One corpse had 105 arrows in it. The American troops who were still alive, terrified at the prospect of being captured alive, evidently committed suicide by shooting each other in the head. In some cases, the Indians cooked and ate their enemies, and they routinely made sex slaves of the captured women. Their treatment of their own women was little better than slavery. Should we therefore apply to them the standards we apply to the Confederates? Should we rename Indiana, originally meaning the land of the Indians? Should we change the names of our Comanche and Apache attack helicopters? Should we tear down the Dakota Sitting Bull Monument and other statues meant to honor the fallen Indian warriors because they glorify rape and cannibalism? If not, why not? It is because the Confederates had the great historic misfortune of having supposedly mistreated black people. Indians only brutalized white people and each other. These are forgivable crimes. Blacks almost never met Confederates on the battlefield, but it is their sensitivities and those of their white anti-Southern allies that must be coddled. That is why we must no longer accord to Confederates the honor and respect their foes so readily granted them. We must suspend the warrior's ethic and spit on the graves of the Confederates' sacred dead. To do otherwise might offend a minority. That's the warrior's ethic. Eddie, you fought in war. What did you think about that article?
I tell you what, the cruelty and the outright animalistic savagery that you reported.
And this was not isolated incidents. This was something that was very common. If anybody is familiar at all with history, the Indians didn't come. There wasn't peace-loving early hippies that we found here and that we, put the sword to. You know, some of them were okay, I'm sure, but this was par for the course. They attacked us, we fought back, and they were put in their place. And this is the history of the world, people fighting over land, and we prevailed. Thank God we prevailed. But this is what our people were met with from the early 1600s until the late 1800s. This is saturated throughout American history. But now all we remember is that we put the Indians on reservations. We were the bad guys. We were the sinners. And the Southern Baptists now pray for the forgiveness of their ancestors who defended themselves against Indians, against savages.
And like you said, James, that with white people, our ancestors did design these reservations and have the Indians on there living scot-free to this day. But you know, James, this heresy has made its way into the textbooks in every single school in the United States. I know when my grandson, who's now a junior in college, used to come home from a so-called Christian school, I would have to go through his books, and I'm not a great intellectual, but I would go through his books and point out inconsistencies. I'll give you one I remember vividly. He came home one day. He was in the third, fourth grade, and they were studying history and geography. And he had a textbook. Well, folks, I guess we'll have to come back after this.
Back to you right after this, Eddie, because I want to give you plenty of time to talk about this.
Okay,
this is all we're going to talk about in the next segment. I want to talk about your warrior ethic, having fought in Vietnam. Who you respect more? Your vanquished foes? Well, did you win that war? we won't talk about that. Yeah. The people you fought against, or the people that lead your church? In my church. We'll be back. Eddie won it, but America did. We'll be right back.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, now I tell you what, you know, we got more positive emails, more excited emails, more passionate emails after last week's show than we have in a couple of months. We've had some great shows. You know, I think, you know, certainly the shows we did earlier this summer when the Confederate flag was so under attack were, to me, some of the most meaningful shows we've done in almost 11 years. And by the way, don't look now, but it's October. I'll tell you what we were doing a year ago right now. We were getting ready for that big 10-year anniversary celebration. Now another year has almost passed. We're coming up on 11 years. In 11 years of broadcasting, what we did earlier this summer were some of the most passionate. You know, you remember those shows, Eddie. Me and you were a part of them. Incredible shows. Well, since then, we got more positive feedback on last week's show than any show. We've had every night's a good night. Every night's a good show. I truly believe that every night we do a good job. But I think tonight, I have a special feeling about tonight. I felt tired last week, but people said it was some of the best we've done in a long, long time.
Well, you look tired.
So hopefully tonight they feel that way, too. I have to listen. I got a 5-year-old daughter. I got an 11-month-old son. I got a wife. I got a job. I got the radio show.
Oh, bless his heart.
You know how it is. I got to deal with you and Keith, which is really the worst of it. But well, Eddie,
I demand a raise, too.
Eddie.
Hey, before we go to the – I got to revisit one thing, and then I'm going to take this Warriors ethic and run with it. I would like to – hey, we forgot to give you the solution, the full solution to the apostate churches that you're in, be it a Southern Baptist, be it a Presbyterian, be it a Mormon. You name your church, I'll tell you the solution. You go – you do like I do. You do like we're going to do here. Me and Keith, come hell or high water, we're going to go to Nashville, and we're going to see this SBC-headed clown, and we're going to straighten him out. Anyway, here's what you do. You do what we do. You follow up on what you, don't just let us be the only ones. Follow up with telephone calls, letters to the SBC, the
or your congregation, yeah. Or if you're an atheist, dogpile on the SBC, please.
Yeah.
For us.
Congregation USA. Then what you do? The mother's milk of politics is be a political politics in the church wherever is money. You make it known that you're going to withhold your tithes, and you don't send those tithes in. And you make your opinions known. Get some guts, people. Me and James were talking about before the show came on tonight, and I agree wholeheartedly. I think the biggest flaw with our people right now is just a lack of courage, sheer lack of guts. We're too many cowards.
Not in this studio.
Go to your church and make your voice known. Tell your pastor, hold the pastor's feet to the fire.
All right.
Okay,
I want to say this.
Warrior's ethic.
Warrior's ethic, yes, but I want to say this because we've called out so many names tonight. Ken in Baldwin, New York, during the last commercial break, sent us in a very generous $25 contribution. And, you know, that keeps the show on the air. $25, $100 is a big one for us. For 11 years, we have taken on the media. We have gotten millions of dollars of publicity for our cause based upon the contributions of small amounts like Ken gave, and it's not a $25. That's substantial to me. But I'm saying, you know, it's those kinds of stuff that keeps us on the air. Thank you, Ken, for your contribution. We love you, brother. All right, Warrior's Ethic. Eddie, you were in Vietnam. We heard about the Warrior's Ethic. You can read that entire piece, which was a masterpiece, originally posted at American Renaissance. We reposted it at thepoliticalcesspool.org on Friday or Thursday, late last week. Check it out. Read it all. I only read excerpts from it, but it's great. It talks about how the Yankees respected the Confederates to a great deal. Why can't we do the same, especially if we are still revering the American Indian who did absolute savage acts against all Americans, North or South? It's a great piece. Eddie, you're in Vietnam. Yeah, do you have more respect? And I want you to answer honestly. Don't give me the answer that you think I want. Do you have more respect for the people you fought against or the people that lead our church?
Listen, I have.
And be honest. Now, if you say, listen, I can't go that
far.
Don't
you worry. I'm going to be honest. Right now, this point in time, I have zero. Not only do I not have any respect for the leaders of the churches in the United States, I have complete disdain. Have you ever heard when you go before the court, they'll say, I'm going to hold you in contempt. I've told the judge, contempt? You don't know contempt. If I just had contempt for the church, if I just had contempt, that would be a step up. I despise these people, these turncoats that are leading the church.
Well, I know
right
how
now.
You feel about them. Compare them to your enemies in Vietnam. Who had more honor?
Well,
who had more?
Well, of course, the enemies had a lot more. You know what? I'd like to remind people, we were in their country. I mean, thank God I was a medic. I tell people I didn't have to inflict wounds. I tried to probably kill some people with lack of knowledge, you know, being a medic. But I didn't have to inflict wounds. I tried to heal wounds. But I had infinitely more respect for people fighting for what they believed in. And these were the foot soldiers that fought. We're not talking about some perfume prince 3-star general or some admiral that sets off on an aircraft carrier I've had some of my Navy veterans talk about being in Vietnam. I said, I didn't know you could see Vietnam from an aircraft carrier. But, you know, Kylie, you know, I've seen it up close and personal. But, no, you know.
And that's something I know one of the most stirring moments of last year. We talked about the 10-year anniversary event. One of our one of our biggest contributors, well, one of our friendliest friends from Texas.
Gave $10.
You remember Gerald. Right. I won't say his name or where he's from or his last name or where he's from, but you remember Gerald. Gerald said he wanted to meet you. And when you talked about Vietnam and you know, the shame you felt, you know, and you talked about that with Gary Sinise on this show. He said he saw something in you so sincere and that he knew you were just the genuine article. And he wrote a piece actually reviewing our 10-year anniversary event. That's still on the website, of course.
I remember that. And I'll tell you flat out, people say, well, thank you for your service. And I'll say, well, don't thank me, Hoss. Thank Leavenworth Federal Penitentiary and thank the draft board. Because back in my day, when you got drafted, you had like three choices. You could run away to Canada or some other nation that would take you. Canada was the nation of choice. Or you could go to the penitentiary or, you know, and shortly thereafter get a discharge. Or you could go and take your chance and roll the dice and see if you came back.
You'd rather be in the rice paddies, though, than in the off. Well, you want to go talk to Russell Moore to confront him man-to-man.
Yeah,
in a Christian way, of course.
That's right.
But
I think
you'd rather. Would you feel more comfortable in the rice paddies or with Russell Moore?
As a brother, I would much rather be in with the VC. I had much more in common with them. We were in their land. They fought like lions. They were outgunned in every way. We had bombers. We had Agent Orange.
They were more manly.
They fought
as a man. You can relate more to their manliness.
Of course. That's from the heart. But I tell you what, and I'll tell you something else about the atrocities you mentioned to the Indians. My dad was in the Pacific in World War II, and some of the most savage fighting you ever heard of. And I've heard they did some pretty mean things at times to some of the Japanese, but nothing to compare with what these Indians did. The worst.
Well,
thing,
and yet we can still not only revere the Indians, but we're supposed to feel sorry for having to defend ourselves against them and ask for forgiveness from God for our ancestors carving a nation from a vast wildlife preserve and bringing salvation to the Indians, by the way. You know, that's another thing. But Eddie, I have to digress now because we only have a minute left. I want to give a very special shout out to Scott with Dixie Republic, DixieRepublic.com. We ran out of the Bill Rowland flags. We fulfilled all of those orders, and we still had people who couldn't quite contribute $100, but I had a lot of emails from people saying, we want a Confederate flag. We want to fly the Confederate flag. We want to stand in solidarity with you. And so I asked Scott, you know, what deal could you give me on the Confederate flag? He said, how many do you need? I'll send them to you for free. Wow. And so we're giving out Confederate flags to people who couldn't afford the $100 contribution. Thanks to Scott at Dixie Republic, DixieRepublic.com. And not only did he send extra. Sam said he don't want just the flag. He wants the barbecue sauce that they have there. Not only did he send the flags, though, to people who didn't have enough to contribute at that level, he sent me, you, and Keith T-shirts. What do the T-shirts look like, Eddie, and what did it mean to you? We have seconds remaining. Hurry.
They're beautiful. It's the front of the T-shirts, a beautiful gray, like a Confederate gray. It's got Voice of the South with Confederate stars and bars behind the microphone. On the back of the shirt, let me unfold it. I'm going to proudly wear it if I ever go to church again. It says Voice of the South on the back in beautiful red, white, and blue Confederate colors. And it's got the Confederate stars and bars behind the microphone back here. It's great. It says thepoliticalcesspool.org, Memphis, Tennessee, DixieRepublic.com, Travelers Rest, South Carolina.
It says something else, Voice of the South, and underneath it says what?
That's right, fighting for our people. Mm-hmm. Empower yourself, fighting for our people. It's a beautiful shirt, and I'll wear this with honor.
What would you like to say to Scott about you that shirt?
I would like to say thank you very much. I couldn't afford to buy this shirt myself on the salary that I get paid here. You know, see, if we got that $25 donation, maybe we can not have to eat beans tonight. Maybe we can eat a hot dog with it. But yeah.
He's joking, but he's not joking.
I'm done.
No, but seriously, no, you're not kidding, because we certainly don't get a salary here for our work. We ask for contributions to help keep us on the air so we can keep making a positive impact for our people. But it's people like Scott that keep us going. Scott donated dozens of Confederate flags that we're going to give away to people who couldn't contribute $100 but still wanted the flags. You can thank Scott for that, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, for the rest of you who did you know, contribute $100. You're going to get the Bill Rowland flag, but we're going to get Confederate flags to everybody who needs one or wants one. But I want to thank Scott for that. He's a tremendous, tremendous individual, And be sure to support his business, DixieRepublic.com. And thank you so much, Scott, for the T-shirts. Sam, you said something a second ago. I'm sorry. I was talking too much.
Almost forgot something big, huge. Almost forgot something. Let me get this out quick.
Yeah, no, right. Yeah, there is a distinction between the flag that people contributed $100 for. You're going to get the Bill Rowland flag that we advertised. There were other people who couldn't afford that, and we actually ran out of the Bill Rowland flag. We actually filled those to the number of what we had. You tell me God's hand wasn't in that. And that is the honest to God's truth. Strike me dead. But Scott sent some flags for people who couldn't afford them or didn't have the money. We're going to get those out. We got to go, Eddie.
We have 10 seconds?
You're done. No, we don't even have 10 seconds. We love
Five
you.
5 seconds.
We don't have it.
3 seconds.
We got to go. We'll see you next week, everybody. God bless you.
Good night, everybody.
James Edwards, Eddie Miller, Keith Alexander. Good night.